the deep dive genre. Aaron Lehmann was born in Wuppertal in 1981. He grew up in the Nördlinger Ries in Bavaria, North Swabia. After graduating from high school, he moved to Berlin and worked for various productions before he completed his studies in directing at the University of Film and Television Konrad Wolf in Potsdam-Babelsberg. With his first feature, Kohlhaas oder die Verhältnismäßigkeit der Mittel, Aaron opened the series Neues Deutsches Kino at the Filmfest Munich in 2012 and won numerous awards. At the end of 2015, his comedy Highway to Hellas was released in cinemas. In the fall of 2018, Aaron's film Das schönste Mädchen der Welt reached more than 500,000 viewers in cinemas. His newest film, Was man von hier aus sehen kann, was released in theaters to great acclaim on December 29, 2022. He lives near Munich. We talked to Aaron via Zoom for this interview. Hi, Aaron. Thank you for sitting down with us today. The wonderful Das schönste Mädchen der Welt came out 4 years ago almost, so it's been a minute, which is why we really appreciate you taking the time to sit down with us and give us some insight about the creative process behind the film.
No, thank you very much. I'm happy to join you.
Now, starting off talking about the genre of rom-com for a little bit, and it's having a bit of a renaissance in the past few years. You know, the term sometimes has been used in the past as a little bit of a derogatory term, like chick lit in literature. And I was wondering, given all of that background, did you have any reservations at all regarding the genre? Would you even say that Das schönste Mädchen der Welt is a rom-com?
That's really a question. When you sent your message, if I want to make the podcast with you, I ask myself, what is a rom-com? Is Most Beautiful Girl in the World, is it also a rom-com? And I did a little research. What is a rom-com, really? And I think the difference, I think love brings the best and the worst of us out.
Yeah.
And I think the rom-com is the short moment when love brings the best of us.
Nice.
And these were my thoughts when I thought about rom-com, because you can also do great dramas about love, but I think this is more about the dark side, and I think the rom-com is more about the bright side of love.
Yeah. I think what really, well, for me at least, and I think for a lot of other viewers as well, worked is that it's a lovely mix between comedy and romance, but also, of course, has its dramatic moments as well. So I was wondering, when you were shooting, or actually when you were still working on the script for the film, was it tricky to find that balance?
I think it's a question how you see life, my own point of view, how I see life. I think life is always funny, it's always tragic, and it's more about the situations we come in, and it's a question of our perspective, if it's funny or if it's sad. And I think sometimes things are strange, not strange in a funny way, but strange. The best starting point for a comedy always.
True.
Something we can't handle, which is out of our league. I think then we have a good start to make a comedy. Drama as well, but I think it's
mostly comedy. Now, going to the script, I'm going to sort of try and really get you to pare it down. If you would have to describe the film in 3 words, how would you describe it?
In 3 words. It's a good exercise always, also when I write a script, to get it down on the core that you have. When you write the script, there have to be one moment when you know this is the core, and I can check each scene if it's part of this core.
Yeah.
If not, finally at the cutting process, you will lose this scene, I think.
Okay.
You are great as you are. Mm-hmm. Sorry, more than 3 words.
But it's perfect. The film is, of course, a modern reimagining of Cyrano de Bergerac,
or at least uses the blueprint of that wonderful classic as inspiration, which is something that worked out wonderful. And also something that I personally think Germany could use more of, because I feel like the playfulness that you also had in your film, and, you know, still keeping the essence of the classic. If I'm correct, you got involved in the film or the slash writing process with when Lars Kramer had already written a first draft for the film. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right. It was a very smart plan from our producer, Sebastian Zür. We should work more often like this. I think it's sometimes it's very vain. It's my script, not yours. It has to be this or that. And Sebastian, the producer from Tobis Film, he had the vision to take Lars Kramer, who's one of the best script writers, especially in structure for movies, and said, "Build me a good structure for a romance comedy. I need later a younger director. I want a younger feeling, but I ask you to build a good structure." So it was the plan that Lars only wrote the first script, and then the script goes to the next. And with the script, Sebastian comes to me and said, "Look at this. I think we have a great structure, a good working story. Now put the flesh on the bones." Yeah, I think that was to make the dialogues like young people speaking. And that was the moment when we get Judy Horney team. Yeah. And she was brilliant with dialogues. She worked for commercials before, and words are her profession.
Yeah.
She really made these characters speaking like real teenagers. And then the last step was when Lars wrote the first script, it was, how do you say, someone with a guitar on the fire on the beach.
Okay, yeah, very, you know? Very folk songy.
Yeah, folk songy, yeah, so romantic. And I said, no, it's Cyrano de Bergerac. We need a word artist. We need hip hop. This is the modern poets are hip hoppers, rappers. And I, at least I wrote the line with the rap battles and that stuff. And I had a great poet on my side, Robin Heffs, who wrote all the battles and the laughs.
How crazy did you guys get when you wrote the battles?
He knew what he's doing, and he's just a professional. Since he's 15 years old, he's in this scene, and he's fantastic in this. And we just talked also with our young actors. What do you feel about this moment? What do you want to tell her? And then, Robin always translated it
into lyrics. Yeah.
Into lyrics, right? Yeah.
And I also really like, or I thought it was refreshing to have a female protagonist who is flawed as well. I was wondering, how did you come up, or you and Lars, with Roxy's issues regarding, you know, trust and love and maybe friendship?
That was for me the most important part. The character of the girl or the woman, I think I really love Cyrano de Bergerac, the movie with Gérard Depardieu.
Yeah.
And I really ask myself, do I want to make something like a remake or interpretation from this, one of my favorite movies? And I thought the only thing I don't like on this movie is the female character. This is really boring. She's just an object. She's beautiful. She's not a character, at least. She's just beautiful.
There.
That's it. She's just there and good looking. I decided that's the reason why I have to make this movie, because I want to make an interesting female character, which is the most beautiful girl in the world, not because she's good looking, because she's funny, she's intelligent, she's smart. And that was what I was searching for. So I create this female character that she can be angry, that she can do things wrong without all these consequences, you know?
Yeah.
She also can get to her goal even if she failed. What we always allow our male mm-hmm. characters.
Yeah.
You know, and that was the moment where I recognized that I can give this story something mm-hmm. new and translate it for a new generation.
Yeah. It's interesting. I talked to Maggie Perrin last week about Hello Again. And she mentioned, you know, when she initially cast Edin Hasanovic in the role as Anton, he was like, yeah, but you know what? It's a little bit boring, the role. And she said, well, you know what? That's the role that the women usually play in these kinds of films. And yeah. So he pushed for a few more things to do. But she said it was really interesting to sort of get this reaction because she thought, wow, you know, women have been playing
yeah.
those boring roles for a long time.
Yeah. And still do too often.
Yeah.
I think really.
True. How long was the casting process and what were you looking for regarding the roles of Cyril and Roxy? Was it like very quickly that you found Aaron and Luna, or was it a long search?
How do you say love at first sight?
Yeah.
Right? Aaron and Luna, both of them, I saw them and
you know,
these are my children. Love both from the deep of my heart, these wonderful young people, so talented. Also Damian Hardung.
Yeah, I have a really question about him
guy.
As well.
And so such a great comedian. I really love what he's doing. And when you were in the cinema in these days when the movie was in cinema,
yeah.
when the cinema cried laughing, it was always him. And I hope that he do comedies again, because he's really a great, yeah. great talent in this. And these three are really was a match from the first moment. It was
perfect.
Wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. Regarding Damian Hardung, I have to say, on first glance, Rick is a bit of a thankless role, but he plays it so beautifully. And yeah. it's also, I was wondering, how hard was it to find someone who managed to still, you know, he has a certain sweetness of character, despite obviously not being the brightest bulb in the shed. Mm-hmm. And it was just wonderful casting, I have to say.
Yeah. Thank you very much. I think the Damian is a very, very smart guy in real. he's very intelligent. He finished school with honors, right?
Yeah.
And he understood this character and that it's important that he take care of this character.
Yeah.
That he don't make a fool out of him. Damian totally understood that he have to fight for this character.
Mm-hmm.
This character always gives his best. The best is not always good, but he's fighting for that I think that was the key, how not to lose this character just as a stupid guy.
Yeah.
Now it's a guy we love, we are feeling with, and we can laugh with.
You've already mentioned that you and Robin Hefs talked to the young actors as well regarding the language. And I was also wondering, given, you know, that the rapping was a big part of, obviously, Cyril's identity, how much prep did Aaron Hilmer have, and maybe even Luna Wedler as well, because you know in the end she does a rap battle as well. Did they go to like a rap boot camp, or how did you go about this?
When we had the casting process, we checked of course the young actors of their talents in rhythm, singing and
yeah.
rapping. All had to prepare a rap song for
mm-hmm.
us.
Oh.
And yeah, right. And Aaron he's very talented in this. His brother, his older brother, is a professional hip hopper. He's a musician. Mm. And Aaron was brilliant from the first time. And Luna. Yeah, she was trained in singing, classic singing on the school, but she had the right feeling for her. Perhaps it was more work for her. She had the skills. And Robin Heffs had both in a boot camp for 4 months.
Ooh,
they really prepared it for four months, working on this hip-hop thing, because it was especially for the battles. I wanted to have the tone, the sound from the set. I don't want to go to studio
and record it there.
Yeah. I wanted the feeling. And it was so important for me that we had the original sound from these rap battles. So it really had to work. And they worked hard for it. And I think it was really fantastic.
Absolutely. Both, yeah. There are two very different venues. One is the university auditorium, which is, you know, a little bit more contained. And the other one is obviously the club in Berlin. Now, how many days did you shoot overall for the rap battles?
Both rap battles, I think we had 2 days for each rap battle.
Oh, wow.
It was a really it was a tight schedule.
Yeah.
But we shoot with... I think we shoot with two cameras on these days to get the real reaction also from the audience that we don't have created all the time. But it it was really a tight schedule, and that was the reason why both of the kids had to go to this boot camp, because we had to be, if you have a tight schedule, you have to be prepared. So we had a clear match plan.
Yes. Now, despite obviously, you know, being prepared very well, I was wondering, what was the biggest challenge for you during filmmaking, and then maybe also later during editing, I would imagine, for those battle scenes?
When you shoot these scenes and you understand that you have shoot these scenes for 2 days and you have to keep the energy high, I really was burned out after these shooting days, because you always have to, not only the motivation just for the actors, also for the audience. I want to hear something. You lose your own voice. I had a mic, screamed in the mic all the time, and I need it. I need your emotion. Give it all. As I try to keep the show on fire the whole time, and I think that was the greatest challenge. Yeah, to keep this energy for 2 days on fire, and at the editing, it's our job to bring this fire on screen, and it's also a hard, tough work. My editor, Anna Demir-Yotunyo, did a great job, and she worked on these scenes so long. And I said, it's great. And she said, no, it's not great enough. I have to do this and that. And she was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I would imagine, you know, especially with, as you said, you know, you have the audience reaction, you have the music, you have obviously the two rappers doing the battle. So you really have to figure out, you know, what you show when and how the music and the light. Oh God, I don't even want to imagine what you guys had to do. Now, going a little bit away from the rap battles, because we talked earlier about, or you mentioned certain scenes that might not be part of the overall emotional journey. Were there any particular scenes that you shot that you ended up cutting?
Yeah, of course. There are always deleted scenes, because I think a story always works different on screen as on paper. It's a difference. And I think sometimes you see things on screen when you think you have to explain it on paper, but then you see it in the eyes of the actor, you think, okay, it's absolutely clear what he's thinking, what he's feeling. We don't need this scene to explain it again. And I'm a friend of telling a story tight, keep the power, keep the energy, and just take the energy out when you need it. and everything we don't need, it's deleted. I'm very hard with it. I had to learn this process because, of course, kill your darlings.
Yes, I was just going to mention that.
One day I decided my only darling is the movie, and if something doesn't work, you're fired.
Obviously, music plays a very important role in the movie. You mentioned the collaboration with your frequent composer, Boris Boachiev. And Konstantin Djorkaeff and Robin Hefs.
Yeah, Konstantin Djorkaeff is the beat master.
Okay.
He made the beats and the sounds for the hip-hop songs.
We talked about the boot camp for Aaron and Luna. That was about 4 months. Now, I was wondering how much sort of ahead of the shooting did you start with all of the music collaborations? Was it a year before or was it shorter, longer?
Good question. It's a few years ago. Sebastian, my producer, and me, when we had the script with a battle story, with a battle line, we knew we need really good guys who have to make these sounds, the beats, and the lyrics. We were sure that it wouldn't work with a classic film composer.
Yeah.
Who try to copy something. I think the people in the scene, they feel it from the first moment. We were sure that we need someone out of this hip-hop scene. And these two guys were our favorites. We knew they wrote also that Robin is a ghostwriter of a few really hip-hop VIPs in Germany. Mm-hmm. And Jorky is famous for his beats. He make a lot of beats for famous hip-hopers in Germany. And we wanted to convince these two guys to be part of our movie.
Yeah.
And we met them, had talked about the script. And we said also to them, feel free. We want you. We don't want that you only do what we say.
Mm-hmm.
We want your spirit, your creativity in this movie, just for feeling how would you see this love song, this big love song, how would it feel for you? And they said, okay, listen, guys, give us, I think it wasn't more than 2 or 3 weeks. And they said, we give you a first example how it could sound.
Yeah.
And I will never forget when I got this song late at night. Robert did the lyrics and rapped it himself.
Mm-hmm.
And Jockey made the beat. And I heard the song and I said, wow, okay, this can be a great movie. I think I heard it in this night 100 times. I thought, well, this is one of the greatest most emotional hip-hop songs I heard in the last years. I was really flashed and wrote Sebastian in the middle of the night, wake up, you have to hear this song, it will work, I'm so sure. And he was flashed too.
Mm-hmm.
And so we found together, we really loved each other as longer we worked together. As I think we're really an emotional relationship, even we don't see each other often, but we gave our hearts to this movie, these two guys.
Do you have a favorite piece of music or a favorite song from the film?
Yeah, I think it's this song on the rooftop when he's on this rooftop and singing this "The Most Beautiful Girl in the World" song. It's really, I think it's my favorite one. It's not the most famous one. The famous one is one more entertaining, funny one. But my favorite is this. I think it's also because I heard the song and I had the feeling for the movie in this moment. months before we start shooting.
Yeah.
And I really love this song.
And as a testament, I mean, I know there's been, you know, when the film came out, there was some talk about how there's influences in there. And obviously you mentioned at the time that it's for a young audience, so why wouldn't we? But as a test of how wonderful this movie is, I got actually, when it came out, feedback from a lot of older people that saw it and that really, really liked it.
Yeah, because it's at least it's not a movie for teenagers. It was not our, for us as creatives, it wasn't that we say this is a movie for teenagers. For us, it was always a movie about first love. And mm-hmm. first love, you will never forget, each of us.
Yeah.
It's something we all remember until we die. Like Romeo and Julia.
True.
You know, it's a story which never gets old, or where you never are too old to watch it or to feel it, because we always will remember first love.
Now, a few general questions about you. You've been working as a writer and director for a few years now, and I was wondering, has, in your experience, have the jobs changed over time?
I always try not to double something, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't want to repeat something, because I love a lot of different movies. I love really ordinary comedies, as I love great experimental art pictures. For me as a filmmaker, it would feel extremely boring to make the same and the same again. I am totally interesting to find out what is a drama, what is an adventure movie, love, rom-com. Of course, I know my movies are always with a smile, but it's not something I have to create. It's my view on the world. It's mm-hmm. That's how I see the world. If I couldn't see it with a smile, I think I would get depressing or something like that. And if we could watch ourselves, we would laugh a lot of times.
Yeah.
Because we are all at least strange, funny characters, if we want or don't want.
It's very funny, true.
Funny, strange characters in a tragic world.
Oh, we're getting slightly depressing again. Let's not go there.
Yeah. Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
A little bit depressing.
And
it's a good spice.
Yeah. You've almost always written the scripts for the projects that you've directed. Obviously, most of it, I would assume, is intentional. But is that just the way your creative process works? Or how did that happen, I guess, is my question.
It's a little bit destiny, because there were projects in my career I choose myself,
mm-hmm.
and there were projects in my career which came to me, and I love both on the same way. I think especially if you're a young filmmaker, like I think my first movie was Kohlhaas,
mm-hmm.
and Und die Verhältnismäßigkeit der Mittel. I think you hear on this German title that it's very difficult to translate it.
Yes, we'll stick with the German title.
my first movie, first feature, I wrote myself, and then you come to a market,
mm-hmm.
and the people need something what they can sell, not just.
Yeah.
What is not just beautiful and original. And so the next step isn't the second step. I think it's the hardest.
Yeah.
And the writer of Highway to Hellas, he's a comedian. And he saw Kohlhaas on a festival, mm-hmm. and came to me and said, please read my script. We are two comedians. Please take a look at it. Do you have an idea how this worked out? I have a fantastic producer, and we want to make this movie. And I love getting inspired by someone else. Also, Cyrano de Bergerac, for The Most Beautiful Girl in the World, and my last movie, What You Can See From Here, is the English translation, I think. It's now in German cinema, adaption of a bestseller adaption. Yeah. I love to get inspired by someone and created for screen. And on the same way, I love also to let my own fantasy flow and develop new places in myself. You know what I mean?
I
decided to be open what comes next. Is it my own story, my own creation? Is it something inspired from someone else? The most important for me always is that I feel it and that I think I'm able to love it.
Which brings us to our last question. Yes. Can you tell us which project you're currently working on?
I can't say too much. It's in this case, I'm the screenwriter myself again, and it's an adventure movie, a historic adventure movie, with a real almost forgotten heroine.
Okay.
And
very intriguing.
I love this story because where are all these important female characters in history?
It's not it's in like the history
cancelled
books.
Because they existed.
Yeah.
And it's really a lot of research to find these women. And I think it's the time now to tell her stories because I for myself, I'm bored of all these guys who holding swords, and we need another perspective, and we have to understand that still we almost didn't tell the female perspective.
No.
I made Jagdsaison. It also had this release this year, and we had a magazine who said, oh, no, we don't write something about it. We already had a female comedy this year.
Jesus Christ.
And I thought, Jesus Christ, did you really say that? It's unbelievable. Yeah. I think there's still so much to do. And for me as a creative, I think it's a much more interesting perspective. And these are characters who have to struggle with different things, who have other point of view, other feelings about a lot of things, and I love to get in this world of heroines. It's so interesting. If you're a creative person, you have to go somewhere where you don't feel safe, where you have to develop things.
Yeah.
We have to explore things. That's interesting.
Yeah.
To find something new.
And a good story is a good story. I mean,
yeah, a good story is a good story. Exactly.
Okay. That was it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for sitting down with us.
Yeah. Thank you so much too.
Deep Dive Genre is produced by German Films, the National Information and Advisory Center for the Promotion of German Films Worldwide. To find out more about our guests, check out the links in our show notes. To stay up to date with our episodes, subscribe wherever you find your podcasts.